clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into SST on Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, and on YouTube. Don't forget, you can also watch the show on Spotify. Spotify has a little feature now. You can click the little thing. Watch the podcast on Spotify. That's fun if you're into that type of stuff. Alec, are you actually shocked? Or are you just playing it up?
No, really? Spotify's got mad features these days.
Well, not every podcast has a video on Spotify. Only certain special podcasts have videos on Spotify. So I guess we're special. How about that?
Did you pay?
They're paying me. No, they're definitely not. They're not paying me at all. But nonetheless, we're here to talk about the New York Knicks and the New York Knicks only. And only here to talk with me is Alec Argento. Happy New Year, my guy. How you doing?
Happy New Year, sir.
Oh, man. What a day to be a Knicks fan. What a time to be ready to watch a full season, or not a full season, but a full gambit of Knicks games here, where they get to play some home games, which is pretty exciting. They have the least amount of home games played at this point throughout the season, yet they've still done pretty well. Obviously, we know that the big trade was just made for OG Anunoby, sending out Emmanuel Quickly, as well as RJ Barrett. We also get Precious Achiuwa and Malachi Flynn, and that is the trade. Also throw in the Detroit second round pick, which is probably a decent value, probably going to be the first pick in the second round. But nonetheless, we digress. Currently, the Knicks sit at 18-15 in eighth in the Eastern Conference, but basically in lockstep with all teams, including the Orlando Magic, Miami Heat, Pacers, Cavs, and then the Knicks. So they're all kind of in that range of 4-8. And Alec Argento, I just got to ask you this. What was your reaction to the trade? And then what was your first, you know, thought after watching OG play his first game in the Knicks uniform?
The first reaction is I was devastated to lose Quick. And RJ too. It's weird, right? When you are going through that rebuild after being so crappy for so long, and then you get attached to the We Here season and everyone that was involved in that. And you watch these kids grow from kids to like young men, and you watch them be awesome and take your team from obscurity to, you know, just respectability. And it just sucks to lose that. And then you get someone like OG Anunoby, and you know, who's, I'm not watching a lot of Raptors games. I don't think anybody's watching a lot of Raptors games these days anymore. So you overvalue your own players and you miss them and you don't want to see it, but it's kind of an inevitability when you're starting to get towards contention. My reaction after that was I was not familiar with OG Anunoby's game. And I am so psyched to have someone like that on the team, like above the rim play, we have not had in a long time outside of like Julius to a degree. Even Julius isn't really an above the rim player like that. OG is getting a feast when he like learns the playbook to like just easy dunks. He cuts well. Now you have him and Dante cutting like crazy. He's going to hit those open threes that RJ was missing all the time, which is going to be exciting and not maddening like it's been for the past, 5 years. But then on the flip side, I have no idea who's going to create off the bench, dude. I have absolutely no idea.
I think you hit a lot of really key points that we're going to kind of stretch out now and talk more specifically on. But I do want to talk about the OG side of things, obviously, right, for obvious reasons. I think what you said that's super important is that you know, you weren't super familiar with his game. And I think that is very honest of you. And I think you're an honest Knicks fan. Well, you don't pretend to be watching League Pass. Like I was watching the Thunder versus the Boston Celtics on League Pass on my phone while I walked my dog before. 95% of sports fans or NBA fans aren't really doing stuff like that. Not to like pat myself on the back. I'm a loser for doing that type of stuff, but I do it anyway. Right. So, and even I haven't watched like a crap ton of OG Anunoby. I felt a little bit more familiar than what most Knicks fans were kind of portraying. And I think what a lot of people who were upset with this trade got stuck in where they went to Basketball Reference and they checked out OG Anunoby's page and were like, all right, like he's a pretty efficient shooter, but 15 points a game, like what's the big deal about this guy? What's he doing that's so special? And it's like, no. He is more than a scorer. He's actually, that's like the third best thing about his game probably is scoring. His defense is absolutely special. He was second team all defense last year and his size was so evident in that first game and it was perfectly juxtaposed to the Knicks getting crushed by the Orlando Magic where they're running out Franz Wagner, who's huge, and Paolo Banchero, who's huge, and the Knicks, who have a good defense, had no way to stop either of those guys. And you see that game against the Magic, you're like, oh my God, love Hart, love DiVincenzo, love Quickly, love Barrett. They don't even sniff the jockstrap of Paolo and Franz when it comes to defending those two guys. And now OG Anunoby, first game in, says, Anthony Edwards, I'm going to make your life hell today. And that's exactly what he did, on top of the cutting, on top of hitting a couple open threes or semi-contested threes. And I think that was the huge thing right off the jump. Everyone said, oh, 15 points per game. Like, Quickly and RJ, they combined for over 30 points per game. That's not going to cut it. This isn't good enough. It's like, okay, this team is not obviously a championship contender because they got OG Anunoby. However, he brought something to the table that was absolutely non-existent on this roster. And to me, that alone was enough to be excited about this trade, as much as it sucks to see guys we've now grown up with, you know, leave, right? I think what you also said was super key was, we value our guys for the history we have with them. That's why Knicks fans, or some Knicks fans, thought Frank Ntilikina was an asset, right? Like, we, you and I, guilty.
Jury's still out.
Hey, Dante Exum made a comeback. Frank Ntilikina could still make a comeback. But, you know, we are guilty of that all the time. And I think it's way easier to be like, no, we love Quickly, we know what he is, than it is to say, hey, it's okay, he's not actually changing the outcome of our entire season.
Yeah, I think he does two things. One is in-game, he's going to open up the floor for a lot more play out of the guys you want to see more out of, right? RJ was trying to do what Julius did in a worse way, without the size and athleticism that Julius is trying to do. And he's not hitting the open shots when he gets it. So he's going to make Julius better. He's going to make Brunson better. And you saw that last night. And especially when one of them has an off game, the other one can pick it up now, and there's just less pressure on trying to give RJ the ball and try to feed him into the flow of things. The other thing that I really like about this trade is, and everyone's saying this, this isn't like a unique opinion, but like, obviously they're going to have to make another move. What you can do now is opened up a lot by getting Anunoby, right? It's getting Donovan Mitchell seemed like, hey, this would never work last year when you saw the size and how crappy that defense would be. And it still might not be great, but you can conceive of an offense now where you have Brunson, Mitchell, Anunoby, and Randall and Mitch next year. And you can say, hey, that probably could work really well with that front court that you have over there. So it allows you to make moves that are open. Knicks were never going to pay Quickly what he Quickly wanted, never going to give Quickly the role that he wanted. So it's you understand it. I think, you know, the fact that he didn't sign the extension kind of told you everything about what was going to have to happen going forward from there. You just got to hope that they can do something with the bench. You know, hopefully the buyout market can help them, or they draft someone in the offseason. But, like, I just don't think Deuce McBride's going to be it to fill that spark plug off the bench. I don't know how they create that offense. That being said, the bench is not bad. I mean, you still got Josh Hart. Presumably, if they make another trade, you can move DiVincenzo down to the bench again. You have Josh Hart. You'll have Hartenstein next season. Like, if you think about it a year from now, that bench unit is going to be really solid if they can just figure out that last, like, creating point guard spot. So,
yeah. The secondary creator is the obvious hole. And I guess we'll see if Malachi Flynn can bring anything to the table, right? Between Miles McBride and Malachi Flynn, you need, yeah, what, 10 minutes a game of decent play, right? And I do think the Miles McBride thing will be interesting. Obviously, there's been flashes of us liking him in that role. It's like, okay, maybe this guy does deserve minutes on a good NBA team. He obviously plays good defense. He has shown signs of being a good shooter. I think since this trade, there's been two games he's played more. Well, he hasn't even played a ton, but he's played more. And it's like, oh, the shots aren't falling. The shots aren't falling. He's gotten some okay looks, and we know he could make those. So I do think Tibbs is going to continue to give him those 10 minutes, and that's all it takes, right? Brunson and Randall are playing 38 minutes a game. Yeah. Brunson or Randall are going to be on the court 90% of the game. And if McBride can do, or Malachi Flynn can do, just that little bit to help do something to withstand Brunson and Randall not be on the court, we'll see if they can at least piece it together. To the Quickly thing again, I think it's super interesting and super important to note kind of what you said there. It was, we're not going to be able to give him the role that he wanted. Can you, Alec, imagine a world where Emmanuel Quickly is a starter on the New York Knicks and they are a top X seed, top four, top three, whatever you want to say? Is there even a possibility of him being a 30-minute-a-game guy on this team? It just never made sense.
No, No, it wasn't going to happen. And the only way you put him there is at a two, and then you are really undersized in your backcourt. You can't do anything with that, right? And there's a reason that Tibbs never put him in the starting lineup like that outside of spot starts. It just wasn't going to work.
Was hurt, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't going to work long term. So it had to happen.
And then on the RJ Barrett stuff, I think one thing was incredibly obvious to a lot of us Knicks fans out here. It was just his efficiency was just never there, right? Like, his best shooting season ever was actually last year. All right, well, it was his second year, 44%. But in the past couple, it was last year, 43, 44%. That's been, like, the max of his efficiency. That's not very good, right? He shot 31% from three last year, 34% the year before that. He was shooting 33% from three this year. Career, he's a 34% guy. That's about league average, maybe a little bit below. He wasn't that guy offensively, and we all saw it. And I think what people who aren't Knicks fans or more, step in and step out Knicks fans, you could turn on a game and say, man, RJ Barrett, electric, getting to the rim, energy, hitting jump shots. This guy is super important, 20 points a game. Wow, what a guy. But everyone who watched them more consistently could say with more confidence, like, we know there's some empty calories there. We know it's not efficient. We know he's not passing the ball as much as he should. And you never knocked his energy. You never knocked his mentality, but it was really easy to knock that he just wasn't efficient. So I think it was pretty easy for Knicks fans to say goodbye to RJ Barrett, even though, you know, he was still a key part in two playoff appearances and did some good things and honestly had some playoff games that he kind of carried the team. He had that ability, but we know the consistency wasn't there. So with those two pieces, again, you ask yourself the question, are these two pieces key top three, top four contributors to a top contending team in the Eastern Conference? You can make the argument that Quickly was closer to that than RJ, and yet he still wasn't there. You're never going to get those 30 minutes. You're never going to get him in the starting lineup. And if you look back to the playoffs last year, we were waiting. We were hoping. We were dreaming for Emmanuel Quickly to show up in that playoff series. When that offense really hit a wall, they were desperate for something to happen. He wasn't able to do it. And that might come back to size. That might come back to just where his role fit in this team next to Brunson and Randall, but it wasn't clicking in some of those biggest moments. So with all that being said, it's hard to see those types of guys go, but this is something that's going to allow them to move forward in a positive manner. So let's wrap this back up again on OGM and Anunoby here. What do you expect now? Is there something that you are looking for him from a statistical standpoint? He has maxed out in his career at 17 points per game. He was at 15 this year. Obviously, his career three-point percentage is 37-38%. Good tick higher than RJ Barrett's. He's hitting, you know, 2.5 threes per game. But what are you looking for night in, night out from OG Anunoby that you can kind of chalk up into the box score, into his performance?
Yeah, I mean, if he's given the leash that RJ was given, listen, I don't want to defend the guy anymore with RJ, so we can talk about it, but RJ was given a long leash. RJ was given a million opportunities. If those opportunities are now going to Anunoby, I keep saying this, Anunoby. If he's shooting at a higher percentage, like he has been his entire career, he's going to feast. He's going to score more points at a higher percentage. And I think you make this trade knowing that Anunoby wants to have a bigger role in the offense, right? It's been documented, and that's what he's going to want with his new contract, and we should talk about that too. But you do that knowing that you're planning on using him a little bit differently than you need to. So and he's historically been used in the past. So I think his scoring is going to go up more. I think you're going to have to wait a little bit as he learns the offense and everything like that. But what his skill set is going to travel, right? Like it's going to be instantly welcomed up into this team. On top of that, he's going to play substantially more minutes on this team than he has on the Raptors. And the counting stats are just going to go up by virtue of that. He's another Josh Hart type with obviously more size and athleticism and just a better player, but he's got that same type of thing where he's doing a little bit of everything. He was all over the place yesterday. He was getting steals. He was getting blocks. He was getting assists. He was getting hockey assists, which we know is honestly probably the biggest thing that the Knicks needed on offense at the moment is just that extra pass because the ball's been so stagnant. So his assist on numbers should go up. His rebounds will probably go down with the way that this team operates, but his points should go up too. If I can get next year out of him, if he resigns, which you got to hope is the intent, you don't make that trade, especially with Leon's son being his rep. that that's going to happen. But if in a full year of this offense where his role is going to expand, he's going to have a better system in place with him where he doesn't have to be, you know, in the system with Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam and everything like that, his role is going to change in a way. Everything should go up. And then his defensive effort is going to stay the same. And you could potentially chalk up a all-defensive team player on your team every year that we haven't had since Tyson Chandler.
I think the role thing is really interesting with OG as well because of what you kind of just laid out there. Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, and OG Anunoby all kind of play the same position.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, they're all threes, and then you could bump them all to fours. You can maybe bump Pascal and OG to a small ball five. You can maybe bump them down to a two, but they're all threes, right? They're all in that same space. And Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, OG was the best shooter out of that bunch by like a wide margin, which is probably not a great thing for a makeup of a team. And Jakob Poeltl, yeah, of course. And like even like Schroeder's playing point guard for them this year. I think he's now getting moved to the bench with Quickly in town. Their spacing didn't make any sense. So his spacing, his open shots should increase with the way Brunson and Randall get to the basket. And I think that you're right, that he will be a beneficiary of that, of more open looks. And I don't know how much his points total are going to go up, right? Like 17 was what he averaged at his peak in his career. He was averaging 15 this year. I don't know if he goes above 20, but if he's going to be at 17, 18, 19, I think that's a solid, efficient number for him. And that could be really good. But I do think he's that type of guy who his floor is like 14, 15, but he can have those nights where he has some good matchups and maybe he can go for 25, 26, similarly to how RJ Barrett did it, except we expect OG to be more efficient in that regard. So as far as that point production thing, it makes a ton of sense. It's also incredibly obvious he will be a closer on this team, right? Where he obviously fouled out on that ticky-tack BS call where I needed one more point for my same game parlay, but whatever, who's counting? He's going to be a closer. RJ Barrett was not a valuable closer for this team. In fact, he didn't close all the time for the Knicks. Emmanuel Quickly didn't close all the time for the Knicks. You would see often it would be Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo in those roles closing out games with Brunson Randall and Mitch or Hartenstein for that matter. And now OG is locked into that position. And you look around the Eastern Conference and you see Jason Tatum, you see Giannis, you see Jimmy Butler, you see these guys who need to be defended, who need to be put through the ringer a little bit to work a little bit harder than Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. Obviously those two guys as well. Like they need to be put through the ringer. They need to be given hard matchups. And for as much effort as Hart and DiVincenzo give on the defensive side of the ball, they just weren't big enough to give those guys fits. And now you have that guy who's going to give fits. Let's talk about the contract here now. And we'll talk about all that stuff here. Actually, first, before we go to the contract, let's talk about the other guy who we haven't mentioned yet. Precious Achiuwa. I'm not really sure. I've heard both pronunciations, but Precious is a little bit of an interesting player. He's done some things in the past here, Alec, where, you know, he gets those 9, 10 points. He gets 5, 6, 7 rebounds. He has the energy. He can run the floor. I don't think there's much to expect from him. However, and he didn't have a good opening game for the Knicks at all. Zero points. Looked a little bit lost out there. However, he does seem to fit the mold of a Tom Thibodeau guy. High energy, going to play hard. He's going to run the floor. He's going to rebound. Do you expect anything from Precious? Do the Knicks need Precious at this point to fill a really big role?
I mean, what the Knicks need desperately with Mitch going out is 10 minutes to spread around between power forward and center. You need a four and a five. I don't know where they're going to get it. This guy ain't it. It ain't Taj Gibson at this point. You might get 4 good minutes out of Taj at this point, which is cool. Jericho Sims ain't it either. But I don't know. Precious Achiuwa looks like the kind of guy who's got every physical attribute that you'd want out of someone at that position. And you think he's going to go in and he's going to be aggressive and like he rips a rebound out of there and then he just lollipops it up there. He is, I don't know. He just seems like someone who's going to drive me absolutely crazy, but they have to run with him, right? They have no choice but to do it. They needed a four before they made this trade. They needed a four even more after this. So hopefully just having, by virtue of having a little bit of size and not having to run Josh Hart out of there, you're hoping that the system, like the pieces go into place a little bit better, right? And Josh Hart being one of those things and Quentin Grimes being another one of those things, where Precious doing that, allowing them to play their natural position could hopefully be like a net there, right? Like counterbalance what you're losing by not having a good four or five out there by having them be unlocked a little bit too. So,
and I think another thing we saw already with Tom Thibodeau, I mean, obviously his hand's a little bit forced in this nature, but he is now willing to go a little bit smaller, but they're able to stay big while being small, if that makes sense. So now when you run Julius Randle at the five for a couple minutes, it's not Hart, DiVincenzo, Quickley, and Brunson. It's Anunoby, maybe Precious, and then Hart and Brunson, or DiVincenzo, Brunson, whatever it may be, Grimes. And that aspect of the Knicks where they can actually run a little bit, it makes a lot of sense. Like, Hartenstein's been grinding. I think every Knicks fan has been incredibly pleased with the effort he puts in, the rebounding, the defense. It's all been really good, and it makes you miss Mitch even more because that combo would be awesome. But they're seemingly willing to now play Randle at the five because Anunoby can help defend some of the bigger guys, maybe because Precious can get some of those minutes. And that's something that we just haven't seen, right? Like, think about last year when Mitch was healthy. You never saw a lineup where Randle was out there as the biggest guy on the court because they were – a liability on defense. They were a liability on offense for that matter too, right? But now it seems like it can make a little bit more sense. And, you know, the cohesiveness of the bunch with Precious maybe given those 12 minutes could bring something to the table. But yeah, let's talk about the contract now. This is obviously a little bit of a point of contention. We are all on the same page, maybe, that Quickley wasn't going to get the money that he wanted from New York. The RJ Barrett contract was pretty reasonable, but again, we're okay with moving on from it. Now the big question is, what is OG going to get next year as an unrestricted free agent? Obviously, Leon Rose's son is his agent, so that seems like it would help the Knicks cause, maybe, I guess, right? But what they're going to pay him is going to matter, and that's why this Evan Fournier contract, that's an expiring contract, basically, is so important right now. If they're going to pay him, what do they have for the next guy? Who is the next guy? So what is the number that, obviously, you're not like some sort of cap expert, but what's the number that's in your head here that OG should deserve in this role?
I don't know, man, because he's eligible for a max, right? Which is like, what, $40 million a year-ish or something like that for what he's done. He's not getting a super max or something like that.
Yeah.
5 years, because the Knicks get the bird rights and they can offer him an extra year there. But let's say he gets a max, which seems probably pretty reasonable for how money's going around these days. The Knicks wouldn't pay him a max, I don't think. But then if you don't pay him a max, you lose him. On top of that, Brunson and Randle, they have options coming. I don't know if Randle has an option. Brunson has an option coming up, I think, at the end of next year, a player option that he would absolutely take to get more money in the way that he's playing. So he's on like the best deal in the NBA, arguably, at the moment. Not for long. He's going to get his max. I don't know where he'll be. If he gets an All-NBA or All-Star team, might even get more than that if he keeps going that direction. But so he would immediately be the highest player on the team if he just made like $30 million a year because of the contracts that Brunson and Randle make. That's probably not great if your two best players are not making as much as your third best player. That's also not great when they have to go renegotiate for new contracts, right? Because then they're going to want substantially more than that guy, and that's going to create significantly less cap flexibility for you going forward. That being said, the way that they set themselves up, yes, OG is on an expiring deal, but so is Malachi Flynn, so is Precious Achiuwa, so is Evan Fournier. Like, they got a lot of money coming off the books this year because they got off RJ's contract. So they have room to, you know, presumably do a max contract and then some. I'm hoping they can get him around the $30 to $33 million a year mark. I don't know. I'm not a cap expert, like you said, but
that's,
I think
that's where my heart is too. That 30, 35 range is like, okay, it's a lot of money. You're going to be, you're going to see the total number and it's going to be big and you're going to go, oh my God, he's getting how many million over the next 4 years, but that's going to be what it takes. It is. And he's an all defensive level guy. I think 30, 35 is probably reasonable. You could probably use against him the fact that he's not one of these premier scorers, you know, that he's not going to get the full max because of that reason exactly. And, you know, with the CAA stuff that happens here in New York, you don't know if there's a little wink, wink, like, hey, OG, you're not getting 40. But you're going to be happy here and you're going to be in New York and this and that.
You have to assume that thing is all inked up already. Like, you have to, right? Because you don't make that trade doing that with your son being the agent. No, not knowing exactly what it takes to sign him and that he intends to sign you, right? I don't think you make that deal otherwise, right?
100%. I mean, listen, just Christmas time, Leon and his son hanging out. What's going on over here, right? Like, it has to be something. Yeah, take a fine, lose a second round pick for the tampering. It's okay. We'll get him on a good deal, and I think it's going to make sense. So the reason I brought up Fournier now, what could help the Knicks from a cap perspective is if they get that guy in a bigger money slot now, right? Like, I know Donovan Mitchell, he doesn't make the most sense for this team. I don't think you or I are going
to
be
apron, with the double apron. Doesn't make more sense to do it. Now, I don't understand the new cap. That's kind of my understanding is that I don't understand. So say they go get a Donovan Mitchell, who is getting paid max money, right? He's getting paid max money. Yeah. Then under the new CBA, it seems like you can only have two max players from what I understand. So if you have OG, who's going to be close to a max, and then you have Donovan Mitchell, who's going to be getting a max, and at the very least, he's going to get a max when he goes hits free agency, that you'd have to re-sign him anyway. Then you are going to be forced to lose Randall or Brunson, or do you just do it for a year and deal with it while you have the opportunity to do it now? That's a big question.
Well, that's the difference in getting the guy's contract on the books, not in free agency. It's like you get that more flexibility because you're able to re-sign Brunson or Randall at a higher number than you would be one of these free agents who's not already on the books, right? So that's what I'm saying. If you use Fournier now to get a big number on the books before free agency, then you could, I believe you can re-sign Brunson at that max level number without making the books too wonky. And obviously you may end up having to pay some luxury tax, but that's something that if the Knicks are a contender, they're going to have to make the decision. And, you know, I think that they would. I think Dolan would pay the luxury tax. I don't think he's the type of guy to be cheap, right? All the things you could say about Jim Dolan, it's not that he's too cheap with handing out contracts. It's usually that he hands out too many to the wrong guys. So that's more of the question mark. And again, Mitchell is really tough conversation. He's clearly such a good player. He's clearly, he clearly would be a top dog on this team. Just does it make sense? Does it work with Brunson? Does it work with Randall? And that's the question mark. So I want to talk about Julius Randle here for a second as well. I still see stuff online, Alec. I don't know if you see some of this stuff as well. There's Knicks accounts out here. There's other people out here who are just trying to find reasons that Randle is a bad guy, or Randle doesn't care. Randle doesn't want to be here. He's not good enough, this and that. I've seen it recently as yesterday. And I'm like, have you been watching this team? I don't know about you. I've been watching him play for the past like a month and a half, like a monster. He's been a beast. He's putting up great numbers. I think he's been the best player on the team for the past month. And Brunson's been playing well, but Randall's been playing better. He's been the key cog to making this offense go. I know that now this is the time you would, in theory, want to trade him, but I'm not even bringing that up yet. What's up with this Randle stuff with Knicks fans just not getting on board with this guy? Do they not see the effort that I see? Do you see the effort that I see?
He's still paying for the sins of 2 years ago when he gave a thumbs down. I mean, this dude has given everything to this team. He took us out of obscurity. I know Brunson was an amazing signing, but we don't get to a Brunson or a situation where Brunson's going to be successful unless we have Julius Randle do what he did to get us out of obscurity for a long time. Guys, when it's all said and done, he's going to be one of the best Knicks of all time. He's already on his way to doing that, and he might already be there already. He's a two-time All-NBA player, two-time All-Star. He's going to be another All-Star this year. Might even be another All-NBA player. Who knows? I haven't looked at the odds on that one. But, I mean, what else do you need from this guy? He's gotten you to the playoffs. After this year, it'll be three out of the past 4 years. He is on an incredibly team-friendly contract. So if you're saying he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's not getting paid like a max player out there right now. He's getting paid, what, $25 million a year, $26 million? The guy wants to be here. Give him credit for that. Guy wants to win here. Guy wants to build here. And he's done everything that you could ask him to do. And he's contributed to winning basketball for a very long period of time on this team that have been bereft of quality basketball for the past 25 years.
Yeah, and you could still point to like those little things, right? I don't think Brunson is free of blame here, where you can point to fourth quarters where, all right, Randle, like you don't have to do it all alone. Make some better passes. You can point that to Brunson now too. I'm joking because I was watching the game with Amanda the other day, and you know she doesn't watch that much basketball. She catches a decent bit of Knicks with me on the couch there, and we're watching, and she's like, "Who's this ball hog guy?" And I'm like, "That's Jalen Brunson. He's like the best player on the team." It's like, "Get him out of here. He's being a ball hog." He's like, "Quickly's doing better than him." And I'm like, "Well, you know, he is the best player on the team. Like, let's relax here." And he actually had one of those games against the Magic. Bad matchup for Brunson. right? Jalen Suggs is giving him fits like all game long. He shot terribly and he was really forcing at the end of the game, looking for foul calls, wasn't finishing his shots. And I was like, jokingly, I'm like, you know what? We don't really give Brunson blame. He's done so much. He's been so good since he's been here. Him and Randall are kind of the same concept, honestly. They both are these attackers who can put up crooked numbers with scoring. They're good passers, but they're not like league leading and assist type guys. Neither one of them are. And they're both so valuable to this team. I just don't get how Brunson is the golden child, and he deserves to be. Like, golden child, he's perfect, does nothing wrong. And Randall, who does like the same exact stuff as Brunson, gets crap still. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's New York. It's Jeter and A-Rod. The fans are always going to gravitate towards one, and they're going to vilify the other. It's just what's going to happen here. I don't really understand it. I mean, yes, Randall turns the ball over. Yes, he can drive you crazy sometimes. But, like, he's not. You can't expect LeBron James or Nikola Jokic every time that you're out there. Like, players got faults, and you live with the good. You live with the bad when you get the good, too. He is much more good than bad. And I think it comes down to, unless you're doing it in the playoffs in New York, people tend not to care. And unfortunately, Randall has never been in a good situation to really contribute to the playoffs. So first year, he didn't have the experience. The next year, he hurt his foot, his ankle in the playoffs. And, on top of that, he didn't have really the team that's going to make him. He was playing point forward that first year. We had Elfrid Payton going out there. This year, if and when they go to the playoffs and they have a good team dynamic around him and he doesn't put up again, then yeah, maybe we can have that conversation. I mean, the guy was clearly playing on a bum ankle. He was in the last playoffs, and we can't really fault him for that, in my opinion. Admittedly, there will be a point of like, hey, it's hard to defend it if you're going to continue to do it, like the RJ Barrett situation. He's defending him for a long time. Guy's not improving every year, right? He's doing the same thing over and over again, and it does become difficult. But I just don't think Randall has been afforded enough opportunity to say that. And he's become a little brother to Brunson. But I think they've both kind of embraced each other this season too, and realized that they can both benefit off of each other, especially if you have two slashers like DiVincenzo and OG there to benefit off of each other. It's just going to make them both better.
So let's talk about beneficiaries. I want to talk about some of the other guys on this roster now who, with the new construction, have some different opportunities. And I think one thing that I noticed in the beginning of the season when Quentin Grimes was really struggling is that he really wasn't getting consistent looks. With Brunson and Randall and with Barrett in the rotation, you knew where 80% of the shots were going. It was going to those three guys. Grimes wasn't getting consistent looks. He was shooting poorly. He was playing bad. Knicks fans were out for Quentin Grimes. I have not given up on Quentin Grimes at all. Then they switch out DiVincenzo into the starting lineup. Then he had some games where he wasn't getting a ton of looks. He kind of got back into a better rhythm. Now with some trades, he's getting tons of looks. He's doing good, whatever. But since Grimes has been moved to the bench, he's shooting much better again. He's playing a more consistent role. I think, you know, he might be a beneficiary of this trade where he gets some better opportunities to create and be that cerebral guy he is. So to you, not OG, not Brunson, not Randall, who's the guy who can now take advantage of some bigger opportunity, some more shot chances here on the Knicks?
Yeah, outside of the guys you mentioned, I mean, I think Josh Hart's going to benefit like crazy. He was playing out of position this year. I mean, he didn't have like a double-double until like a week ago or something like that. That's not who he is. That's not how he's been playing. At least his entire Knick tenure. I know that's a small sample size, but I think he's going to benefit tremendously. And then you also have this opportunity now where you can kind of create a defensive lineup of death, which is going to be sick, especially when Mitch comes back. You could have like a Deuce, Grimes, Hart, Ananobi, and Mitch lineup, which would be like insane. I'd hate to play against that. But I think Hart's going to benefit a lot. He's not going to have to play outside of his game. He can focus on doing what he's good at. Especially on that bench unit now, they're going to need someone who can direct a little bit. Granted, I don't want him doing it 100% of the time. I know he was doing it a good chunk in the last game, but he does really well with fast breaks, right? And that unit has a different kind of composition to it, and they're going to be gunning for a new type of identity with Quickly out there, and someone's got to absorb that. I don't think it's going to be Deuce. You don't want Hart to be the point guard, but I think it'll allow him to play a little bit more within his game, give him more opportunities offensively, and then defensively he can be on the correct assignments going forward.
Yeah, and if he's doing the things he did last year, it's so valuable. Obviously, we know that. And I do think that the Grimes aspect of this, he can get a resurgence going here. Like, the more looks that he gets, the more opportunity he gets to slash a little bit. That was the thing that impressed me so much with him last year and the year before. It's like, yo, this is the guy is not just a spot-up shooter. Like, he's willing to pump and go, dump off pass, attack the rim a little bit. And the more chances he gets, the more consistent he'll get. And I'm just not giving up on that guy yet. People wanted to act like him more quickly should get them some superstar. And meanwhile, all they're doing is shitting on Quentin Grimes. Like, yeah, the guy you're shitting on is not getting you a superstar, right? Like, it's just not how it works.
What I'm really excited about, too, with the trade is you have a lot of guys now in a situation where they can move without the ball in their hands. That is something we haven't had in a bit. You know, we got rid of two very ball-dominant players in Barrett and Quickly. And yet you lose some of the scoring with that. But at the same time, you have players like OG and Hart and Grimes and DiVincenzo who are really embracing that aspect of the offense. And it's going to yield dividends for them. It's going to really pay off for, I think, the team going forward.
And if you're doing pie chart math, right, like RJ and Quickly had the 19 points and the 15 points of that pie, maybe it's not going to go – you know, 12 points to one place, but it seems like it could be, you know, 17 to OG. And now Dante's points per game goes up by 3 and Hart's goes up by 3.
Right.
Deuce gets 4.5 points a game. You know what I mean? Like, there's very reasonable ways to expect the points to be had. And maybe it being more through Brunson and and Randall and kind of them facilitating more, maybe you see their assist numbers go up a little
100%.
Bit. And that's huge, because I think when it comes down to it, we talk about this Knicks offense getting stagnant late in games. It was because, like, oh, Brunson's got it. Now Randall's got it. Okay, let's give Barrett a chance. Oh, Quickly's in. Let's let him run a little bit. Now it's going to be more movement, more fluid, more kicks to the corner, more swings, more cuts. All that stuff is really exciting.
Oh, yeah, that's 100%. Randall's assist numbers for sure, too, especially. I mean, he's a great passer. He's an incredible passer, and he's had guys that just don't make the shots when he gets it to him, right? I mean, he's starting to see it now with DiVincenzo, who's just been money every time he gets the ball in his hands. And OG is going to be better than RJ. How many times has RJ gotten it in the corner wide open, completely bricked it, completely airballed it? Or when Obi was here, passing it to Obi. Well, I guess he wasn't doing it too much, but Brunson was passing it to Obi. Obi's missing the rim by a foot and a half. I mean, you know,
side of the backboard.
Right. You got shooters on this team for the first time in a long time. You know, and not just, hey, we're shooting at high percentages, but we're taking the least amount of shots in the league like we had a couple of years ago. Everyone is, they can shoot it at a good pace and at a good clip now, and it's going to improve. And even Josh Hart looks a little bit more comfortable taking threes again, which was weird. He was like running away from him for the past like 2 months.
He goes in and out of it, right? There can be like a week where it's like, man, this guy, 40% shooter, look at him. And then it's like, nope, he doesn't like doing shooting at all, actually. He's a little bit like up and down with the shot, but that's okay. All right, Alec, let's play my favorite game here. We're going to roll through the – what's that?
Nothing.
Pickup sticks?
Tummy sticks.
Tummy sticks, okay. We're going to play my other favorite game. My favorite game here is when we roll through the Eastern Conference and then you tell me quickly, without thinking too hard, if the Knicks are a better team, worse team, or if you want to call them even, you can go ahead and do that.
Sure.
So we're going to start off the rip and just say this off jump. The Celtics, Bucks, and Sixers are better teams than the New York Knicks still after the trade.
Sure. Begrudgingly, but sure.
We're going to agree on that. Okay. So now we're going to go down the standings as they sit currently at 9:46 p.m. on January 2nd. And we're going to hit the Orlando Magic at 19-13. Are they better than the New York Knicks?
Worse. Much worse.
The Magic are worse than the Knicks?
Much worse.
Much worse.
They have the worst shooting in the league.
Did you watch the game that they played each other?
I watched the game that they played each other. I mean, the Knicks have played the least amount of home games, so it's hard to look at records and just look and say, oh, yeah, they're the same. They've played more home games. They have an identical away record, or they, we're both two games under 500 on the road. But the Magic are, they're a young team. They have no shooting on that team whatsoever. They're young and they're hungry, and they'll get better. This year, the Knicks will, there's no doubt in my mind, you can clip it and tell me in a couple of months, but there's no doubt in my mind the Knicks are going to finish at least two spots ahead of them in the standings.
All right. I'm high on the Magic. I think they're a pain in the ass to play.
I agree. They're a good team.
Yeah, they. I mean, they play really good defense, and I do think it was obviously tough to judge that Knicks Magic matchup because it was middle trade. They didn't have the full team. Like they didn't right? Did they even have Quickly and Barrett in that game? Or was that the game?
That was the Pacers.
That was the Pacers game. Right, but nonetheless, they didn't match up before. They actually match up better now with OG Anunoby. That makes a big difference. I'll say that they are – I actually, you know what? I'll agree with you. I think the Knicks are slight edge above the Magic. Over the course of the year, I think they're going to find a way to get right above them. And the home-road split is huge. Knicks have played basically no home games to this point. So I'll give that to the Knicks slight edge. I wouldn't say it's a guarantee like you did. All right. Miami Heat, currently 19-14. We know the Heat. We hate the Heat. But are they better than the Knicks?
I think they're about the same, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they end the standings. Once they get to the playoffs, that's when you find out.
Okay. So I think that's fair. They're probably regular season almost identical. In fact, they even have very similar splits where they give up a small amount of points comparatively to the rest of the league, and they don't score a ton of points either. So they're pretty similar. You could probably put the Knicks, Magic, and Heat in that same bucket. Really good defenses, not super explosive offenses, but just very sound teams with some star talent. All right, Indiana Pacers at 18-14. Knicks or Pacers?
It's close, the Knicks.
So you think that one's close and you don't think the Magic is close?
I don't think the Magic are there yet. Like the Magic are like the worst shooting team in the league statistically. They're like 30th out of 30. Like they're a really bad shooting team. I don't know where they're going to get that from. It's not like it's hard for them to make trades right now. I mean, they have their picks. They can't sacrifice their picks, right? That's just who the Magic are. They need to hold on to every pick that they ever get ever because nobody else is ever going to sign with them, right? So it's not like they're going to get anyone in the buyout market or anything like that. This is what their shooting is going to be like this year. Over the years, you hope it gets better. But you need shooting in this league, and that's going to like reflect in the record at the end of the season.
So I think that the Knicks are clearly better than the Pacers and not clearly better than the Magic. I think I'd give them a slight – well, I think they're – like you said that no doubt the Knicks will be above the Magic. I say no doubt the Knicks are above the Pacers. I'd be much more shocked if the Pacers end in the top four than the Magic ending in the top four. But I would vote the Knicks to be more likely than both of them, the Heat making me more nervous than both, but the Magic being second in that race in front of the Pacers. Now, lastly, Cleveland Cavaliers, a little bit of a weird team, a little bit of a weird stretch right now. We know who they have on their team. Hasn't exactly worked out. Are they better than the Knicks?
No, well, the Knicks are better than them. I mean, that's been proven over and over and over again. I don't, and especially because I don't know if that team is going to look the same at the end of the year. It seems pretty likely that they're going to move Donovan Mitchell, whether it's to the Knicks or not. I don't know why I said Donovan Mitchell so weird. Donovan Mitchell. But they're going to, you got to assume that they move him to try to recoup some losses. It's not working over there. Otherwise, you're going to lose everything next year.
And then there's Brooklyn, Chicago, Atlanta, and Toronto as the only other relevant teams in the East. Do any of those teams stack up to the Knicks?
No, I mean, the Hawks will always be a nuisance, but I don't think they're as good as the other teams that you mentioned. I think they're probably the best out of that bunch, but you don't, they're not like a threat at all. And they're probably going to have to have a fire sale too soon.
Yeah, none of those teams are a threat unless, of course, the Nets do trade for Donovan Mitchell. Then they obviously go up a tick. And yeah, even still, I think I would put the Knicks. It would. Mitchell and Bridges make sense, right?
Yeah.
And Cam Johnson, that would make sense. I think the Cam Thomas experience, a lot of Nets fans clamor for him to get more and more minutes. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about that. Like, he just, it's too many shots. It's too much heat checks for me. I'm not going to get on the Cam Thomas bandwagon. I'm sorry, Mark Shanlugan. Bulls, you know, we know what they are. They're just a slightly below 500 team. They're frisky. They're not terrible. They're not good. And then the Hawks, you know, they should be better. I was pro Hawks before the season. I thought they were going to have a really good season with Quinn Snyder. I think there's plenty of time for them to turn it around. However, they got a big uphill battle to get to that range, right? So even if the Hawks play super well and kind of figure things out, they're already six games under 500, which means that they'd have to play on a pretty incredible pace to get into that top six in the Eastern Conference. I think they're a play-in team, and I think they'll end up there by the end of the season. The Raptors, you know, we'll see what happens with Quickly and Barrett being there with Pascal Siakam. We'll see if they hold on to Pascal Siakam. He could be another guy on the trade market right now.
Right?
I feel like you have to move Pascal Siakam. Like, where are they going right now? They're not the type of team, clearly, to trade for a bunch of picks. If they wanted to trade OG for three first-round picks, they probably could have, but they wouldn't have gotten Quickly. They wouldn't have gotten a Barrett.
I think that move signifies that they're trying to build around Scottie Barnes very clearly, right? And then you need more picks for that. You need players there at that point to help them develop. You don't want to just wait on people.
Correct. And I think Barnes is a fantastic player. He's just not ready to carry a team anywhere near the top six.
Pascal Siakam's not going to help his development, I don't think, right?
Especially since he forgot how to shoot. I mean, Siakam was like a decent shooter for a couple of years there, and now he's just not shooting the ball well at all. And that takes away all dynamicism from that offense. It's been weird to watch the Raptors the couple times I have this year. They're not there yet. So again, the only points of contention here are those teams with basically the identical records, right? The Magic, Heat, Pacers, Cavs, and Knicks, identical records. You can argue that those will be the five teams fighting for 4 through 6 and not being in the play-in tournament. I think that the Knicks are squarely in the top three of that five. So it looks like they have a good chance to make the playoffs and not the play-in tournament, but that's going to be super important. Man, like, you do not want to be in that play-in tournament. You don't want to go in to Chicago or Atlanta or Brooklyn, for that matter, for a one and done. You just don't want to do it. So it's so important for the Knicks to win the games they're supposed to win, to punch up a little bit, which they should be a little bit better off doing now that they have one of these star defenders.
I have a two-part question.
Go ahead.
Do you think that the Knicks make a trade during this season, or they wait to the offseason? And who do you think that trade is going to be?
I think they make another trade this year. I don't know if it's going to be a like star level trade. The weird thing, it's still too early to really see who is going to be sellers, right? Like, if you think about both conferences right now with that play-in tournament, there's a lot of teams who are still going to be fighting for it. You look at the Western Conference. I mean, it's insane in the Western Conference a little bit here too. Just kind of like the East, they have nine teams above 500 right now. The Knicks have 8 teams above 500 right now. But even down to the Memphis Grizzlies, who are 10-22 right now, they have John Morant back. They're playing a little bit better. They're looking at that play-in tournament. They're saying, we get into that play-in tournament, you don't want to see us, right? So who's going to be the sellers? You look at the teams that are definitely going to be sellers. It's the Hornets, Wizards, Pistons, Blazers, and Spurs. Those are the true. What are they doing? They're going to get rid of the assets they have, but those teams are bad. They don't really have many assets, right? So who's available from those trades? I think a name I heard that's kind of interesting, would the Knicks be interested in a Terry Rozier? Maybe a guy like that from Charlotte. Like, he's not the most – who?
Big contract, though.
Big contract, but I don't think he has many years left on the deal there. But can he be that guard who now runs the second unit, who – pull some offensive firepower off the bench and can do some things for them, possibly? Like, what are the Hornets doing with Terry Rozier? Nothing, right? He can play a little defense. He can do some stuff on offense. I think that type of trade is more likely than a Donovan Mitchell trade, is what I'll say. So I don't know who the person is exactly. The Knicks will definitely make more trades before the deadline. I just don't expect it to be one of these max level type guys, one of these stars, one of these all-stars, because the only ones who are remotely available don't make a ton of sense for the Knicks, and I don't think it's going to be Donovan Mitchell.
No shot they traded for Terry Rozier. He's got 2 years left on his contract at around $25 million a year. You don't get rid of quickly to get Terry Rozier.
That's true. I thought he had 1 year left. So is that 1 year in two years including this year?
2 years including this year, but then he's got an option. I can't tell if it's team option or a player option on the website.
Yeah.
But regardless, I just don't think you want to pay that money, because you want to keep that flexibility for whatever you can put
absolutely
on the market. So
100% right. But then that goes back to it. Like, who's out there? It's not going to be Jordan Poole, right? Like, they're not trading for Jordan Poole. I heard Jordan Clarkson's name thrown around.
Yeah, I can see them making a trade with the Jazz at this point, which is scary, but obviously Ainge, for Danny Ainge. But at the same time, we just made a trade with the Raptors with Masai, and Masai is typically a pain in the ass to trade with. So it's a win-win trade too. So,
and the lawsuit, I guess. That's I'm assuming insane. Leon Rose calls up Masai Ujiri and is just like, listen, man, this whole lawsuit thing ain't got nothing to do with me. leave me alone. Let's make a trade. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just got to be what it is.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can see them making a trade. I mean, Colin Sexton, I don't know what he's making right now, but he's probably making a good amount after that. I mean, he probably, but on paper, would be a good bench guy to have. I'd be happy to have him.
And I think, like, Utah is looking at Colin Sexton as like, all right, Let's get Jordan Clarkson out of here so we can just play Colin Sexton and Lauri Markkanen. Yeah, I think so. I think they like him out there in Utah.
Okay. Yeah.
He plays super hard. And Lauri Markkanen would be like electric. He's so freaking good.
We don't have spots for him at this point anymore.
And they're not trading him. They're not trading him.
Yeah.
They're just not, right? So I don't know. The Warriors are interesting. Like, does Wiggins go on the market? I don't know if that's something you want anyway, right? Like, the trades are just not really there at this point in time. We'll see what happens, you know, come closer to the trade deadline. But right now, the names are just not out there.
I'm just so worried we're going to end up with Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan.
I'd be happier with DeMar, but I really don't want either.
I feel like making a trade for DeMar is just making a trade for the sake of making a trade.
It's like, all right, let's make sure we get a top six seed this year, but definitely don't do better than that. Like, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That was a TikTok of mine that got some juice on it. And I think it was because I was backing, you know, Grimes so hard and not giving him up in that trade. But it's like, DeMar DeRozan, very good player. Great career. We'll say great career.
Sure.
He's 35?
Yeah, he's at least a million years old.
He's at least a million. And, like, he hasn't been on a winning team in years, right? So, like, what are we trading for here? And he is 34, not 35. He averages 22 a game. He's a pretty good passer. I enjoy watching him play thoroughly. I think he's a great guy to watch play basketball. But, again, it's another guy who's going to need the ball. He's not spot-up shooting ever. He shoots 2 threes per game at 34%, which is actually his like career high. And he's not a guy who's going to stand in the corner and catch balls from Brunson and Randall. He's going to need the ball. So unless he is becoming a super six man, which I don't think he's going to want to do, there's just doesn't make sense to have him on this team. And he doesn't help the defense at all either. So you're giving up, in theory, two guys in like a Grimes or DiVincenzo. I guess Fournier's contract would have to be in there. They're going to want something back. Right. And then you're giving up good defense. You're giving up good shooters for a guy who's going to need to create and be a playmaker who's not going to have the chance to do that. Like, he's going to go from 22 points a game to 16 points a game on the Knicks. And maybe as a bench player, that's good, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I feel like they got to make a trade at the deadline for someone because of the, like, at a certain point, you're going to lose these picks that you have that you stockpile. And this is a year where you will lose two of the picks that you have. Not lose them, but they'll be up, right? You'll have the Dallas pick and you'll have your own pick. You want to start using these in a package or else they're just going to turn into nothingness. So I don't know. I feel like this has got to be the year they do something, whether it's at the deadline or it's a trade night or something like that. But the clock is ticking on using your assets. You already got rid of all of your actual playable contract assets in RJ and OB and Quick, obviously. I mean, you have Grimes still. And I'm sure that you have movable, you know, good contracts with like a Dante or a Josh, but like they're not somebody's going to trade for to build around. You know, that's just not who they are anymore. You don't have those young assets anymore to ship out of town. You need to use those picks that you've stockpiled for years.
Send them out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, so it sucks that Embiid and Towns went off the market before they got on the market.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they never even made it on the market. And Luka Doncic, same thing. Never made it on the market. Still, just never on, but definitely already off. So that's tough. All right, Alec, do you want to give me any thoughts on the Giants season as it finally ends?
This season sucked because it wasn't good enough to get like, top pick, and we lost everyone immediately. And like the season was over before it started. I mean, come on, it was miserable. There was nothing really good to look at here. Hopefully they get a new offensive line coach in the offseason. They shove Bobby Johnson on the closest train that's going directly into the sun, and then we can get rid of that. But this team's going nowhere real fast with that offensive line. And you can go draft whoever you want to put there, but it's going to be the same thing. So, but I will.
What are they looking at here? They're looking at what? The fifth pick?
Fifth pick, I think. If they lose to the Commanders, they're locked into the fifth, I think.
If they're playing the Eagles.
Yeah, I think if they lose to the Commanders, don't they have another game against the Commanders?
Nope. This is week 18.
Is it really? No. Then,
oh, yeah.
I think if they lose to the Eagles, I thought I read online, and they're locked into like the fifth pick or something. I don't know.
I think it's let's see, real quick. If they lose to the Eagles and the Commanders win.
That's what it is.
Now, if they lose their – it depends. I don't freaking know. Who cares?
I don't know.
It's
I'll tell you what.
The Titan.
If they draft Michael Penix, buying that jersey real quick.
And it is because of his play. Phoenix energy. Big Phoenix energy. No one loves Michael Penix more than Pat Boyle, by the way. Our guy, Pat Boyle, has been riding the Phoenix for a minute now, and he is not hopping off. He is going hard.
He's shooting on that up the rankings.
We'll see what happens. Would you want them to draft a quarterback, though? That's a good question.
I don't know. I would love to buy that jersey. I don't know. If they keep drafting offensive linemen, it's proven time and time again that it's not going to work out here. I mean, Andrew Thomas just was a miracle that somehow worked out. But, I mean, you know, outside of that, Schmitz was, like, the worst center in the history of centers this year. Evan Neal is terrible. And, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do. You need to just get a new offensive line coach to, like, go find the best offensive line coach out there, pay him $1 billion, and just let's call it a day at this point.
Yeah, and figure it out. All right, Alec, that's all we got. All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Kwanzaa.
Merry Kwanzaa. All right, Subway Sports Talk, Alec Argento, or Alex Nargento, if you look on the Twitter machine as well. But that's all we got. Subway Sports Talk. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review on your podcast app, on YouTube. Subscribe, hit the notification bell. Drop a comment. The comments are hot on Subway Sports Talk social media right now, TikTok, Instagram. You know, we're getting some good interaction there. That's my big goal for the new year, is to be more consistent with the social media pushes. And so far, so good. We're getting some good interaction with you fans out there. So appreciate you. Follow us on social media at Subway Sports Talk. And we will talk to you with picks on Friday. Cheers.
Happy 2024.